Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God has given us a way that we can be preemptive, doing something today that is going to help me tomorrow and is going to help me in a week and a month and a year. Doing things daily in my life that are going to help me be able to face those struggles and those difficulties that are in all of us. There's none of us that don't have it. If anybody tells you, well, I don't struggle at all in the flesh, except you're a liar.
We all struggle with our flesh, thinking time and time again that we can overcome a bad or sinful behavior in our own power. But nothing we have or do ourselves can ever be successful until we realize that the power and victory comes in, from, and by the Holy Spirit. This is such an encouraging and freeing study today. Please stay with us with Living in the Spirit's Power out of Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In this chapter, we see how to live a pleasing life to God. Three things are included as we consider this topic. We saw in our first study that we of all people are the most free. We are free from death. We are free from sin. We'll be free from the grave when death no longer has its sting. And with all of this freedom, what are we going to do with it? Use your freedom for good. Use your superpower, freedom, for good, to be able to edify yourself, to be able to bless other people. And you can use your freedom to be preemptive towards your own personal struggles. You have a certain area that you struggle in, that you seem to fail in periodically. You can use your freedom to build your strength so that when you face those, you're able to overcome them. You don't give in to them. The second is very much like it, and that is that we are to walk in love towards one another. We saw last week that above all things, God wants us to love each other. And if we truly will love, it's the fulfillment of the law. And if I'm walking in love towards everyone around me, it is going to take sin out of my life. This passage is similar. It's to keep step with the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you became a Christian, it was the Holy Spirit that actually generated you into the kingdom of God and has been in you ever since. And if you can keep in sync with the Holy Spirit, then you'll be planting seeds that will reap righteousness. Now, the title of our message is The Power of Walking in the Spirit, or Keeping in Step with the Spirit. I also thought of staying in sync with the Spirit, which I like as well. The Bible clearly says, walk in the Spirit, this is our text, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What a promise. We can overcome the flesh. And I want to give you, maybe even those of you who have been Christians for a long time and have struggled with your flesh and failed against it, I want to give you hope today that you can live that pleasing life with God. I want to also talk about how we can walk in the Spirit. Now, many people try to defeat or control their flesh by sheer willpower. And I can't give you the number of sermons that I have sat in. I got saved when I was 14 years old. I left the United Methodist Church and began attending an Assembly of God church. And we heard a lot of preaching on holiness. It was part of the holiness movement. That particular church believed that they could achieve perfection here on earth. And I heard a lot of messages on righteousness. I heard a lot of Gomer Pyle messages. That's shame, shame, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. How bad you are that you give in to sin. A lot of times being really encouraged to give purity to God and holiness to God, only to find out within a couple of weeks that I had failed. I had enough energy to be able to make it through a few days, but only to find out later on that I would fail. Focusing on things not to do. A message that says, stop doing that. Stop doing this. Is ultimately a failure. The problem with it is the more you focus on the flesh, the more you focus on not doing your struggle, the more distracted you get towards it, or the more it brings attention to itself. And so you seem to be kind of brought into it. I thought tonight, as I'm bringing a message on purity and righteousness and wanting to give that purity and righteousness to God, how many sermons I have sat in where the guy starts preaching, He starts naming off different sins. And the next thing you know, I'm sinning in my mind. Next thing you know, I got the battle raging in my mind. And I had to check myself as I was making my notes today. I don't want this to be that. I don't want us to focus on the flesh. I want us to focus on the spirit. Because God has given us a way that we can be preemptive. Doing something today that is going to help me tomorrow and is going to help me in a week and a month and a year. Doing things daily in my life that are going to help me be able to face those struggles and those difficulties that are in all of us. There's none of us that don't have it. If anybody tells you, well, I don't struggle at all in the flesh, except you're a liar. Other than that, everything is really good for you. The Bible says all temptation is common. We might have little different points of where we're tempted, but all temptation is common. We all are tempted. We all have failed. We all know what that failure feels like. We've all had to go back to God and say, Lord, will you forgive me? I can't believe that I've done that, that I said that, that I did it. I remember years ago trying to get a handle on how I was disciplining my kids, had read the book from James Dobson, The Strong-Willed Child, and was really trying not to discipline them out of anger. And it just seems like I was being tested at every turn. I'd be driving down the road and be like, going on behind me in the seat. And then here would come, you kids better stop, you know. And then I'm going, driving home going, oh Lord, I'm sorry. So whatever that struggle is, whatever you're going through, whatever is that reoccurring thing that's happening in your life, I want you to know that God knows it and God has given us a way to be able to overcome it. And it is preemptive. It is by using our freedom for good, for edification. It is by walking in love towards those that are around us. That's going to take care of a lot of things. If we genuinely say, I'm walking in love today and staying in sync with the Spirit that is already inside of you as a Christian. Now, there are a couple other promises that are like this one. This is a very powerful passage. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's very powerful. And if we can apply it, it's going to be really powerful. But there are a couple others that are like it. One of them is Psalms 37, 4 and 6. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. No, the he will bring it to pass. You're trusting in God. You're committing your ways. You're delighting in the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Notice the next verse. He shall bring forth righteousness as a light. You're delighting in God. You're committing your way to him. You're trusting in him. And he's bringing righteousness. You have your part and he's going to work the other part. God's not saying in that passage, you rotten, horrible, you know, sinning Christians, bring forth righteousness to God. And I'm not ever saying there's no command in the Bible that says that. But I love passages like this that tell us that we have something we can do that will cause God to bring forth righteousness in my life. And since God can do anything, this seems like a win-win for me. I delight in God, I trust in him, I commit my ways to him, and he will bring forth righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday, it says. We have another passage like it in the New Testament. Jesus speaking in John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, or the branches, as the song. He who abides in me, so you think of a vine and a branch attached to the vine, and the vine getting life from the branch. So we stay attached to Jesus and we get life that comes from being attached to Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit. There it is. It happens. If you stay attached to Jesus as a vine, there's going to be fruit in your life. There's no way to avoid it. A well taken care of vineyard, the branches produce fruit. You will produce fruit if you make an effort to stay close to Jesus. And again, you're not doubling down on whatever your struggle is. You're saying, I want to stay close to Christ. I want to stay attached to him. He goes on to say, for without me, you can do nothing, which tells us a lot that we want to stay attached to him because the things that aren't of Christ don't mean anything. Without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, so there's two different areas. We stay attached to him and his word abides in us. We know the scriptures, we're studying them, we're memorizing them, we're able to get them into our mind. And I want to be really practical here. There are several Bible memory apps that are really good. Take time to download the app. Take time to check and see if you have these passages memorized. There's a lot of good systems on these different apps. When I was a new believer, we had memory cards. I would go to Living Word, which is in Albuquerque. I guess Gospel Supplies was here when I got here in the 80s. But I would go to Living Word and I would buy the little flashcards that I would look at the scripture, flip it over, it would give you blanks. And then a little bit later on, you would just kind of hide it, say it, and then come back and do it. And interestingly enough, if you've been coming for a couple of years and you've heard me quote one scripture over a couple of years, it's because I memorized that when I was like 14 years old. I memorized a myriad of passages, and flashcards don't really do it today. I'm sure they're still around, but you have your phone with you and you're going to be staring at it as you're waiting in line at Chipotle anyway. So you might as well utilize the time to do something edifying for your soul, to have God's word abide in you. Take Jesus up on what he says. Abide in me and let my word abide in you, and you will have whatever you ask. Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now that doesn't mean he's going to give you ungodly desires. It means as you're abiding in Christ and as his word is abiding in you, your desires are becoming godly. You're wanting godly things within your life and you want this. As I said a few weeks ago, you want it even if you don't want it because you don't want the destruction and the deceptiveness of sin. We are so easily deceived by it. And we want to give God righteousness. It's just part of being a Christian. We want to give him holiness. We want to give him righteousness. We just get so lost and we don't know how to do it. Now let's consider a few facts about staying in sync with the Spirit. Let's consider a few things about the Holy Spirit that will help us really understand how we can stay in sync with the Spirit. The first is Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And we're going to get here and we'll do a whole study on this principle, but I just want to touch on it today. This is a similar principle, something you can do today that is going to affect your righteousness tomorrow. It says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, do not be deceived. And a lot of people are deceived on this point. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh of the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. When I was a teenager, 14, 15 years old, before I could drive, and they gave you your driver's license in Albuquerque at 15 and 8 months. I think they still do. What do they do here? Is it 16? It's still pretty crazy to me. I got my learner's permit at 14 and 8 months. But I was riding my bicycle, my 10-speed, all around Albuquerque, everywhere I would go. And I would preach to my front tire. I wanted to be a pastor. And I would preach to my front tire. And that front tire heard messages on sowing and reaping over and over again. You don't know how many messages that front tire heard about, you know, if you reap, you're going to sow. That's what you're going to get. What you're putting in, you're going to get out. You know, those kind of things. But it is such a true principle. We get deceived when we think, I'm going to do this, but there's not going to be a crop that comes from it. And the crop is not just always more sin. That very well can be the case. You're sowing, and so it can lead to more sin. But the crop, it says, is corruption. So sin leads to destruction and corruption. But sowing to the Spirit, doing things to the Spirit, deliberately in the Spirit, for the Spirit, today brings life. There's a command to be filled with the Spirit. It's actually a command to do it. Like we have to take action to be filled with the Spirit. I want to say to God tonight, fill me with your Spirit. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? So here we're talking not about the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, but we're talking about the empowering anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I realize that term has been so abused and misused. Nevertheless, there is an anointing at which God pours out the Spirit on someone. The Spirit in the Bible, the picture for the Spirit is oil. and they would anoint kings and priests with oil. And the picture is the Holy Spirit anointing you, empowering you, strengthening you. So here's what it says in Ephesians 5:8, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So just like you can make a decision to be drunk, you can make a decision to be filled with the Spirit. And this is not any kind of comparison. And shame on the church who has turned this into a comparison. I went to church and I got drunk in the Spirit. I was stumbling all over the place. I was calling out like a dog. I was roaring like a lion. Some of the things that you've watched in this Toronto blessing movement, and it's called a few other things as well, they take this passage and say, you can be drunk in the Spirit. You can have laughter in the Spirit. You can act like an animal in the Spirit. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet, and the last fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So how could we ever get out of control? I've seen preachers preaching, and then they get out and they start doing weird things. They get really weird. They get really weird, really weird, really weird. And then they go, where am I? What am I doing? It must have been the Holy Spirit because I don't remember it. It's not what the Bible teaches. That's not biblical, we would say. This is a contrast. Never are you more out of control than when you are drunk. I shouldn't say never, because I guess you could be. There's other things that you could be on that make you more out of control. But you can be so out of control when you're drunk that you can't even walk down the road, right? You see videos of people that are so drunk, they're on flat ground, they're leaning backwards, and they literally will hit the ground because they can't move on. You can be so drunk that you are massively out of control, and never are you in more control than when you are filled with the Spirit. That's the point. It's a contrast. Don't be drunk and out of control, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Because when you're drunk and out of control, all kinds of things happen. Dissipation. But when you're in control, you're able to stop those things from happening. In John 14:16-17, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. He has given you a gift with the Holy Spirit. Do you appreciate the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given to you? Listen to what he said in John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Are you allowing him to help you in your life? He's a helper for you, that he may abide with you forever. The very Spirit of God, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was over the surface of the water. That same Spirit is abiding with you forever. It says that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This was them before it was under the law. He was with them. Before you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit was with you. He was convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And you came to Christ under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's not condemnation. Don't confuse those two words. It's conviction, which means to be convinced that you need help, be convinced that you need salvation. And then he says he will be in you. And for us, he is in us. For them, the disciples he was with, he would breathe on them in John 20 and say to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he would take up residence within them. So we have the Holy Spirit in us today. You have the help available to you right where you are today if you are a genuine Christian. In John 14:26, Jesus said, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. I often pray before a study, Lord, you be our teacher. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. This is the passage for that. Because as I'm teaching things, the Holy Spirit is working to teach these truths. He will teach you all things and then bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. And I'll never forget some of the first time that the Holy Spirit came on me, upon me, to be able to witness. I'm just as awkward as you guys when it comes to witnessing. When I feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting me to witness to someone on a plane, I'm always like, so what do? I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how do you start this conversation that's going to lead to something that is significant? But I'll never forget the first few times that had happened where all of a sudden the Spirit began to move and I began to give passages and it began to be really powerful. And it wasn't me, it was the Spirit working through me. And I know you've had those kind of experiences where it's the true anointing that's happening to you as the Holy Spirit helps you and brings scripture to your memory. All of a sudden, I'm bringing up scriptures that I don't even know that I knew because it fits in what's being shared. The Spirit teaches and reminds us. Romans 8, 6 through 8. This is the Romans passage for Galatians 5, 16. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the Romans passage for that. Remember, they kind of go hand in hand. They both teach the same thing. Romans, a longer version. And so Romans 6 through 8 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, carnal, carne asada, flesh. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you are living by the flesh, you can't please God, but you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. But our thoughts, our thought life, we have control over that. We've gotten so used to letting it go wherever it can go. And the Bible says, whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever honest, think on these things. Our spiritual warfare, the enemy comes against us by throwing fiery darts in, which I think are thoughts that he's throwing into our mind. And the shield of faith puts them out. And we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We can help our thoughts by what we listen to. We can help our thoughts by what we're watching. We can make decisions today that will help us. And here's where you could get legalistic, right? Here's where you could start going, you can't watch that, you can't listen to that. But we have freedom. And we don't want to get legalistic because then pride sneaks in. Instead, we just want to walk in the Spirit and be close to Jesus. We just want God to work in righteousness in us because we are delighting in Him. He's doing the work of righteousness. I'm not even having to do it because He's already doing it. In Acts 1:8, this is the power of the Spirit on you. He said to His disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, the fact that it says ends of the earth there, I realize that these disciples went all over the world, but I think that it speaks of you and me as well, not to just these 12 men, but that they were to go all around the world, and we are here in Tucson and can be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would come upon you. This is a word that's used in the book of Acts to talk about the anointing, what I would call the anointing or the empowering. I don't have any problem with any of the words people use for the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, the receiving the Holy Spirit coming upon you, the overflowing of the Spirit. I like all those words. I don't have a problem with any of them. There's even one passage in Acts chapter 8 that talking about them being baptized in the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, it says, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. So it's not calling it directly baptism of the Spirit, but it is talking about them having hands laid on them and receiving the Spirit and saying they had only been baptized so that there is a baptism of the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.